St. Andrew's family, here we are. We're back in action.
What up, everybody?
Yes, we got Pastor Matt.
Pastor Ethan.
And we have a special guest, Mrs.
Hannah Mathopoulos.
Yes!
So good. What up, Hannah?
Hannah with us today. Hannah was completely surprised by our last-minute invitation to be on the How the Sausage is Made podcast. So it will, and it should be very comfortable because your family has a meat company, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, actually, we should be talking to you about how sausage and T-bones and all kinds of things are made. So that would, you know. Hannah is involved in so many aspects here at St. Andrew's. She is a faithful church member. She is on the Saturday night worship team. She's on the board, the Board of Christian Day School, and she also serves. She's a school mom and has two kids here. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about your background with music, with the church. Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I think we've been here since I was a freshman in high school, so that's quite a while ago now.
That was like 5 years ago, probably.
Yeah, I won't say my age. And we came over here, and I joined the youth group, and I just started really just walking my faith out. It was a great opportunity, and then there was a spot open in the praise band, and of course I was going to do that.
Absolutely.
Been singing since I was a baby.
Absolutely.
So that's been a great opportunity just to come here and be able to worship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Man, there's nothing like it.
No, and the way you guys lead worship, and I say this about Jordan, I say this about the worship team on Saturday night. The really cool thing is we have very talented musicians, but the sense always is that they're leading worship. It's not a performance. Our group is always leading worship. It's always helping people to connect with Christ and to sing. And that is it. You can sense the second it's a performance, there's something so off-putting about that. But when we come every Saturday, it's just faithful, really good musicians, very faithful musicians. Like, no, we're here to help you worship God with us. And that is just like the coolest. It's just the coolest thing to come on Saturday nights and experience that. So thank you for that.
Amen.
This is our little recording we do to kind of review last week's sermon and look forward to next week's sermon, and we'll be asking you to jump in on some of the discussion here. So just be prepared.
Okay.
And
if we
both start uncomfortably like staring, we'll feel free to jump in at any time. But we are starting because we had a celebration of the Ascension of Jesus, and we didn't do it on the Ascension Day because that's a Thursday. But we did it this last weekend, so. Pastor Ethan, I will tell you the thing I took a lot of things home from that sermon, but one of the things I really took home is I love that you focused on the joy. Jesus departed, and in my head, in my mind, because I usually read the account from Acts, I don't usually spend much time in the account from the end of Luke. I didn't really connect with the idea that they left the Ascension full of joy.
Right.
And for me, I always think it's just so sad. Jesus is gone, and that image of them staring into the sky. And I always think of these guys like squinting their eyes, like where are you going? And it's
watching them get smaller and smaller, exactly, or something.
Exactly. And what kind of inspired that whole idea of the joy of the Ascension?
It's hard for me to nail down exactly like the moment or what kind of led me down that path. But there was just, as you're preparing any sermon, usually like the Lord just kind of makes clear, you know, an avenue or particular emphasis, you know, to keep walking down this, this road here. And also part of it was kind of like how I shared in the sermon, like just part of my devotional life, it started coming up, like ideas of joy, like the quote that we read from Mr. Trueblood.
Yes.
And I think it was just something that really struck me that I hadn't thought much about, and I loved the comparison between the first time Jesus is gone, and then being sad, and then the second time he's gone, and then they're joyful. I thought it was just a cool way to talk about the Ascension in general.
Yeah.
And I will say, especially since Hannah's here, Saturday night was really cool because we usually the worship team is here at least an hour, sometimes hour and a half early, getting ready and stuff. And I knew that I was going to be preaching all about joy. And I don't know if they knew that yet, but the worship team was just like on one that day. They were having so much fun.
Jordan started like playing all these chords and these old songs just came out and we just started singing a bunch of songs. And we had no idea where it was going. So we were just like laughing, getting words wrong, singing the same verse over and over again. And it's funny how music can do that. It's like we have the word of the Lord in our hearts and in our minds.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's just written there. And it'll come back. And I think of, sometimes I watch my own kids do like little shows or sing and dance. And I get so much joy from that. And I just think, if God is just looking down at us, watching us and listening to us as our Father.
Yeah.
And it's like, we just get to share in that. It's so cool. Mm-hmm. It's so cool. Yeah,
I think of that too. I think sometimes we think we're so sophisticated. And, and then and sometimes it's good to remind that God sees us as children and we just have the joy of children. I always think of like the you know, they make this massive Hadron Particle Collider, you know, just to study what happens when electrons smash into each other. And it's a height of sophistication. And I picture like they make this thing and then God looks at it like, one of the drawings my kids did when they were three, like the head with the arms and the legs coming straight off of it, no bodies in it, you know. And it's like, it's we think we're so sophisticated, and God's probably like, that's so cute, like, you know.
yeah, I think that's so cool, and the fact that God gave us His example, right, for us to have kids and to have families.
Yes.
And when you think of God as a father like that. And you can kind of, we get that little glimpse of it here.
A little glimpse, yeah.
It's really just really something.
That's so powerful. That's so powerful. That's awesome. The one thing we do on this this account, our show here, is, is one of the questions we ask a lot of times is like, I'll ask Ethan, like, if you had to preach again next week and you couldn't do the same thing, like, What would you bring out about the ascension? And like, I just like would love to hear what also Hannah. What do you think when you think about the ascension too? So
I'm curious. What's something you would like to hear more about, or whenever you think of the ascension?
When I think of the ascension, I feel a little on the spot here. I don't know. I think about the fact that Jesus left us the Holy Spirit when He left. And I like to focus on that because I used to think like, oh, Jesus left us here. Like, oh my goodness, does He really trust us? But when you think about the Spirit being left with us, I mean, He's the Counselor. He's the one who guides us in the way of truth.
Mm-hmm.
He's living in us. He's living in us.
Right.
And I think sometimes we forget that and we're just walking through life. And when we live in the truth, and we live with the Spirit, we are part of the kingdom, and we're living it here on earth, right?
Yeah.
So we don't just have to wait for eternity. I mean, Jesus come back today, and obviously that's the best thing ever.
Of course. While we're waiting,
that's the next best thing, right?
Amen. I love that.
That's a great way to transition, because the ascension is kind of this like this transition week where we're getting ready for Pentecost this coming week, which is all about the pouring out of the Spirit.
Yeah, yeah. And, for sure.
And like, we have the Spirit alive in us.
Right.
We are the Lord's dwelling place. So, Matt, I have to just tell people how bummed I am that I'm going to be out of town this weekend. I'm not going to be here for the celebration of Pentecost this weekend.
I'm
going to
make sure the sermon is extra good.
Yeah. Oh, you better, man. You better.
But
yeah. Don't. I will definitely be tuning in. But so tell us about your preparation so far for this weekend and celebrating Pentecost together.
Well, it's funny. Much like you showed up on Saturday and the praise team was kind of exuding joy as you're about to talk about joy. Hannah really hit up the head what I was going to talk about with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We're at different phases. Every time we talk, we're at different phases in the sermon writing. I have not started writing at all. I really started refining anything at all. And I was going to start yesterday, but what ended up yesterday happening was I just got into this really deep study of Ezekiel. And I think I'm going to connect the New Testament reading to Ezekiel. There's this image of this stream comes out of the temple, and it just starts flowing. It gets deeper and deeper, and it's just this stream of living water. And then the gospel reading is Jesus on this day of the festival, where they're pouring water over the altar, and people are hitting it with palm branches to symbolize the sound of rushing water and wind. Jesus gets up in the middle of this solemn moment, says, "It's me. Like I'm the temple. Like the streams of living water are going to come out of me." So Jesus claims the temple to be the temple, and then what happens on Pentecost is that Jesus ascends, but he says, "Now you are the temple."
Yeah.
And we know that because the fire was what indicated the presence of God. And so the fire just disperses on the people, and it's like, guess what, y'all? You're the temple now.
Mm.
And so what does that mean? I think that's kind of exploring, what does that mean for us? That you are the temple of God walking around in your everyday life. You're taking the temple of God into work with you. You're taking the temple of God and you drive your kids in your car. And part of me just kind of laughs because I think of my own life, and I'm the temple of God, and I think to myself, is that really a good idea? Like, you know, that I've got temple.
Right.
But it is, because it's God's idea, so we have to trust that.
Which goes back to Hannah, what you were saying,
exactly.
With like Jesus leaving to say, "Oh, does God like really trust us?" And then, you know, 10 days later, he trusts us to be his actual dwelling place. Like,
yeah,
like you said, like, man, are you sure about this, God? Like,
yeah,
you want us to be your temple? But I love that, man.
Oh, man, and there's those moments in life where you just all of a sudden it's like, you're here, go right. Do it, you know. And we're never apart from God's grace, and of course we have to depend completely on that, because we just mess everything up so bad on our own. But we have the Holy Spirit, and it's true, and we should talk about it and celebrate that, and think about what that means for who we are and where we go and what we do and all those things. So I'm still kind of working on that part of it, but I think it's a connection to it's the temple. The other thing I think that strikes me is when Peter preaches, it's everything is outside of us. The Holy Spirit comes from outside. It doesn't bubble up from within them. It comes from outside of them to them.
Right.
And then Peter's message is law and gospel, right? And it's this grace of God that comes from outside of us. So, yeah.
And that's kind of the heart of the scriptures.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, we'll be praying for discernment and direction. And
Thank you. Because there's a lot
of things that you could... choose to walk down a lot of paths.
Well, of course.
You know?
I mean, this is one of those passages.
Right.
We could preach on this all summer.
Right,
we could
exactly.
preach on the Pentecostal summer.
So as we wrap up with prayer, before we do that, just want to say again, thank you, Hannah,
for being in
the conversation with us. And for anybody who doesn't know Hannah, I've been here for less than a year. And Hannah, I'm very impressed by you and the way you serve this place.
Amen.
The way you raise your family, and you're a very faithful witness. So thank you.
Well, thank you, and I feel privileged that God would bring us here to this place, and that He would bless us so abundantly with other believers, and just a place to grow and to learn and to have grace, and to show love to others and find God's love also.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, let me pray for us.
Yeah, let's do it.
Lord God, we give you great thanks for this day. Thank you for Hannah and the heart you've given her, the heart to serve in so many different ways and in different groups between the church and the school. And bless her and her family. And Lord, use her to be a continued example and that others might follow, Lord. That we would all use the gifts and opportunities that you've given us to share the gospel with whoever we can. We ask your blessing on Pastor Matt, that you would give him continued wisdom and guidance, and or give him joy as he prepares to preach an incredible message this weekend about how you have chosen us to be your dwelling place. And that comes from outside of us. We don't find it inside us somewhere, but you've come to us and you've chosen us and given us your mercy and grace. Lord, be with this place. Continue to guide and direct St. Andrews. We lift these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Hannah. Thanks, Pastor Ethan. And St. Andrews, we'll see you this weekend.
Bye, guys.